We've watched in recent years as both Oregon and California legalized cannabis, the kind that gets you high, for personal recreational use. And what a boom that produced, with cannabis-based businesses popping up all over the landscape. Marijuana is still under federal restrictions. The feds are basically letting states experiment. But hemp, marijuana's non-stoner sibling, had its federal controls lifted in last year's farm bill, opening up all kinds of possibilities in hemp cultivation and processing. Oregon State University recently announced the formation of the Global Hemp Innovation Center, based at the OSU campus in Corvallis. Jay Noller is a professor of crop and soil science at OSU, and he'll be the director and lead researcher for the Global Hemp Innovation Center. Jay Noller, thanks for joining us on The Exchange today.
Yes, good morning, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here.
I appreciate you being here. So help people understand, is hemp the same plant as the marijuana that gets you high, just with much less THC?
Yes, we consider it biologically similar. It belongs to the same genus, although there are those scientists who we're still looking at the possibility that they're slightly different species or subspecies. Research remains to tell us.
So hemp does have a long history as a crop in the United States. It is the body of knowledge held back a bit by the long prohibition on it?
Yes, quite a bit. When we think of the scientific boom of the 1930s, when so much was advanced across all science and technology, at the same time we saw that hemp was prohibited federally. There was a brief sort of interlude during World War II, but there's really not been any advancement, and both here in the U.S., and of course we convinced folks around the world not to really pay much attention to it either. So globally, we don't know that much about the crop.
So hemp essentially got swept up with marijuana as the prohibitions on marijuana were put in place. Hemp went along with it?
Yes, correct. It was very difficult at the time for law enforcement to tell the two apart because they smell, look alike. Even dogs at airports can't tell it apart.
Really? Oh, that's really interesting. So the drug-sniffing dogs will detect hemp as well as marijuana with THC?
Right. They just pick up the terpenes. They don't pick up THC. THC is an odorless compound, really small amount. Dogs can't pick that up.
Well, that's interesting. What are terpenes?
So terpenes are some of the essential aromatic compounds. That is, at regular date temperatures, they basically go into as vapors into the air, and that gives it the odor that people pick up, especially when people talk about a skunk-like odor, and that's some of the varieties of cannabis can have that.
Okay. So the next time somebody talks about that skunky smell, I'll say, those are the terpenes.
Right.
So, Jay, what makes Oregon a logical place for a Global Hemp Innovation Center?
Well, there's a number of things, and both are biologic, and then the other is just an interesting nuance, especially in the Jefferson State area. So first is that we're at the optimal latitude, about halfway between the equator and the pole, and so the daylight varies quite a bit because the plant generally needs some indication of its solar climate, which is latitudinally dependent. So 45 degrees is great. So within a few degrees of that, of course, that's the entire state of Oregon. So we're really optimally centered on the best latitude. The other is that, of course, the dry climate when the plant is just finishing out means that rainwater isn't washing off the components, the terpenes, the cannabinoids and such, off of the flower and the plant. And so it's preserved, and actually the plant just exudes even more because of the difference in day and night temperatures. So that kind of pushes it along, and it's dry. The third is that almost half of Oregon is federal territory, which meant that for backwoods marijuana producers, which was quite rampant in our region, especially in Jefferson State area, you had just the perfect conditions for selection of just the right genetics. And so when I travel around the world to say I'm from Oregon, we have hemp, they all talk about we want Oregon genetics. So it's recognized globally as really the desired base material for hemp.
Really? So even in the absence of legal cultivation and legal research, we still had a lot of development, it sounds like, in improving the plant over the years.
Right. So You know, one of the things that is talked about quite a bit these days in science is the idea of citizen science. So we can think of this as a backwoods, black market citizen science research effort that really advanced Oregon to the forefront, and we just didn't know it.
So how many farms are there that are dedicated to hemp that you know of, and how many acres planted in hemp?
Well, that number is increasing, especially right now. This today is we will see is the peak planting date. So you probably didn't know that.
Did not.
But this was I find it rather auspicious that we're talking today. So basically, 10 days on either side of today is for Oregon is really the optimal sort of planting date for the floral hemp that folks want to grow in Oregon. I think we were right around 1,600 just a week or so ago, and we were pushing 50,000 acres. And so we are definitely now ahead of the U.S. overall.
What? Wow, so 50,000 acres. That happened fast, didn't it?
Incredibly fast. When you think about it, the experience of growers and their successes over just the last 3 years in particular, as folks tried it in every corner of the state. In fact, I'd love to send you a map. You could see that just about the entire state is covered with some hemp acreage.
Now, if you want to send that map along, we'll attach it to our story on the website. We're talking to Jay Noller at Oregon State University. He is a professor of crop and soil science and the new director and lead researcher for the Global Hemp Innovation Center based at OSU in Corvallis. Questions about hemp, cultivation of hemp, use of hemp products. It's got lots. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Jay, you said something about 3 years of hemp growth. So Oregon got a bit of a jump start ahead of the federal farm bill, is that right?
Actually, it started right after the farm bill came through the fall of 2014. So in 2015, we just had almost two handfuls of growers in the state, or producers, I think as we kind of formally call them, and then that has grown to this rather astounding number, essentially more than doubling or trebling each year.
I don't know if you see the same thing in the Corvallis area that we see in southern Oregon, but you'll see these vast fields that have posted large signs saying hemp, no THC.
Right. I think that's certainly is folks who are passing by, especially tourists who are driving through our state, and those. So we see producers along public highways. You will see those signs because people just want to get out. Mostly they want to take pictures, as we hear reports, but some will may trespass and collect some, but that's not really what they probably desire.
All right, so what is the major product that that people want to extract from hemp then? I mean, I know that you can get it's good for seed, good for its oil, good for its fiber, but so what's the thing that people are most interested in coming out of hemp, at least in Oregon at the moment?
Yeah, at the moment they want to pull out the essential oil, all the aromatics, so the cannabinoids and cannaterpenes that are then partitioned into different products on the marketplace, and of course that just one three-letter set of cannabinoids, CBD is all the rage, but that's just one of over 40 different cannabinoids that the plant produces, and then the cannaterpenes, so we're just seeing that the potential to go through the full alphabet soup, if you will, of hemp is still ahead of us.
And so I imagine one of the things that you'll be studying at the Global Hemp Innovation Center is the uses of CBD. It seems to be getting touted as a magic elixir for a lot of things.
Well, certainly. So when we look at what it's being purported for use, that is human health, animal health, environmental health. When we look at human health, of course, we think of Oregon Health Sciences University, OHSU, in Portland. Of course, we have alignments with that. We have the pharmacy school at Oregon State University. So the College of Pharmacy, as it's formerly known, has faculty who look at this and various compounds that can come out. And so we're looking forward to engaging them more with this suite of plant-based compounds. And then, of course, the human trial studies that various drug companies and medical schools will want to do. So that all lies ahead of us. And then also when we look at animal health, we, of course, have the College of Veterinary Sciences. We have a Department of Animal and Rangeland Sciences, and they look at dairy, cow-calf, and, of course, the full suite of large to small mammals, reptiles, amphibians, and such that people have as pets. All of that, when we look at the purported uses, are regulated by FDA as well as USDA for animals. So we're really looking for federal compliance on that. It's not yet established.
All right, but is CBD far out in front of any other intended uses for hemp grown in Oregon anyway?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Certainly it is. There's a certain amount of infrastructure that's needed for fiber production from decorticators, scrutchers, combing, all the way up through fiber mills, textile mills. So that's still out ahead. And then, of course, folks are growing hemp for seed. It's just that they get more money for seed to propagate another crop than they would if they were to sell it in the market as hemp hearts.
All right, so oil, fiber, and then seed in that order, and oil way out ahead with the CBD.
Right.
We're talking to Jay Noller, Professor of Crop and Soil Science at Oregon State University, Director and Lead Researcher for the new Global Hemp Innovation Center here on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Greg in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, good morning. Interesting program. A comment and then a question. The comment is that last night I was on the internet and I noticed that Levi Strauss has done a lot of research and is working on a combination of cotton and hemp, which allegedly uses a substantially less amount of water, not only in growing, but in processing. And the question would be, and it, I guess this is a 10 or 15 year thing they're going to try to develop, but it is seems to be working. And the other thing is that in the state of Oregon, is there a growing usage of the fiber itself?
All right, excellent question. Thanks for that, Greg. Appreciate that, and good to know about the Levi Strauss operation with cotton and hemp. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, in answer to Greg's question, we have certainly this has been one of the focus areas of our research. One of the reasons why we call put the modifier in front that says global is because we truly have a global footprint. We have research operations that has been ongoing over in Europe. We're now in our fourth year of large cropping systems. So we work with experimental plots, not like the ones here in Oregon where they're limited to about 5 acres. Our individual plots over in Europe are 500 acres. So we're looking forward to bringing those styles of grain and fiber production here, as well as the intended essential oils and such. So we're looking at dual and tri-cropping systems for hemp that we're bringing to Oregon. We're also been working with and have unique relationships with the ultra-fine fiber hemp production area in northern China. And in fact, I'm leaving just Friday to go out and continue work with my experimental plots there. And so we're really looking at, in the future, seeing where in Oregon exactly would work to have a dual or tri-cropping system where we can have fiber and the fiber can go into the various intended uses, be that clothing or even structural hempcrete, et cetera.
Hempcrete, so we're talking about a concrete-like product with hemp as it's one of its major elements?
Right. We have a professor in our College of Forestry, the Department of Wood Science and Technology, and he is very much looking at hemp, the herd, and the short fiber, which can come from the varieties that are currently grown in Oregon for the essential oil. That particle can be used in place of gravel. So it's a means that concrete is very lightweight, which means it can go into much taller structures. Think of bridges not weighing as much. They don't need huge foundations just because you're using a very lighter aggregate. Plus, hemp has a great strength. So you can think of the long fibers, the short fibers, all adding additional tensile, almost steel-like properties to concrete. And, of course, Oregon proponents of hemp have long been telling me about, we need to do this. And they're, of course, grateful that we have a professor as good as John Simonson looking at this.
So I notice you have 40 faculty, 19 disciplines, the largest hemp center of its kind. Will you have to hire any additional people to make the Global Hemp Innovation Center work?
Yes. Actually, sitting next to me is Associate Director of the center, Dr. Jeff Steiner, and he's here to help me with herding the hemp cat, so to speak, anyways, to look at the center. And then beyond that, we'll be looking at intentional hires of faculty in various colleges within the university that would be looking at helping move along what is rapidly becoming Oregon's largest agricultural industry.
Wow, a lot of future for hemp here. Jay Noller, again, our guest in the exchange. Jay, we have to go in about a minute. This is something of a homecoming, I understand, for Oregon State University and hemp.
It is. We are bringing hemp research home. From the 1880s until 1932, center of national hemp research was right here at Oregon Agricultural College, as it was called at that time, and they had experimental field right underneath where I'm talking to you from in my office at the corner of Campus Way and 30th in lovely Corvallis.
All right, so just a restoration of a program that was there until 1932. Then, of course, the prohibition on marijuana swept up hemp along with it. Farm bills in 2014 and 2018 really loosened the load, and now we have hemp growing up all over the place and the Global Hemp Innovation Center at Oregon State University in Corvallis to assist it along. Jay Noller has been our guest. He's a professor of crop and soil science at Oregon State and will serve as director and lead researcher for the new center. Thanks as well to Dr. Jeff Steiner for being at his elbow during the interview. Jay, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, and it's been a pleasure.
Okay. Bye.